Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go. Welcome, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are the top 1% rated show in self-help. Thanks to everyone here listening, subscribing, sharing. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And we are so excited to have a special guest here. His name is Joel Zuckerman, and he teaches all about the importance of gratitude. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Thank you, Miss Rebecca. It's my pleasure. I'm grateful to be here.
I am grateful you're here. Let me tell my audience about your amazing background. So Joel is the author of 9 books, including the book called Grateful. He has won 3 book awards as a golf and travel writer. He has written over 1,000 stories in over 100 magazines and websites, including Sports Illustrated. As a professional speaker, he has entertained audiences on cruise ships, conferences, and corporate retreats. Since 2013, Joel has written over 240 letters of gratitude to individuals near and far. His focus on gratitude and appreciation has helped him make profound changes in his life. He teaches how gratitude for others can result in deep and lasting benefits. So Joel, tell us a little bit about your journey. Where were you, and what was that turning point where you realized that gratitude was the key to unlocking happiness in life?
Wow, that resume sounds so impressive. Is that really me?
It is. Okay. It is, unless, you know, it's not you, but yeah, it is. I think it's you.
It's not embellished. It's not embellished at all. So, Miss Rebecca, thank you again for having me. This has been a very, very interesting journey. So the long and the short of it is, I was a very prolific writer for many years, 25 years, and got lucky. Writing books got attention. I was asked to speak at events. I have a natural affinity to speak in front of an audience, hopefully on a podcast. That'll be your judgment at the end. And in 2013, I wrote what was my first letter of gratitude. Now, first question I get asked, what is a letter of gratitude? A letter of gratitude, Miss Rebecca, is like a thank you note, but instead of thanking someone for a gift or a party or a dinner, I am thanking them for being themselves. It's a letter of gratitude. I'm grateful to you for our relationship, whatever that relationship might be. I wrote that letter in 2013 on a lark. I read about the concept in a book, and I wrote the letter as an intellectual exercise. Let me see if I can do this. Let me write a letter of gratitude. I wrote it to a friend of mine, a business mentor and associate. But what got me on this journey is I had no idea that writing that letter would make me feel such a feeling of warmth and accomplishment. I found it addictive. So over the last 10 years, I have repeated that 240 times. I find the concept of expressing myself in writing to people who have befriended me, mentored me, helped me, shown me a kindness to be an intoxicating feeling. And it is something that it's so imbued in me now, I could never imagine giving it up.
That is so beautiful. So what was the book that inspired you to write your first letter of gratitude?
Look at that. You're like a DA asking all the right questions in court. That is a very famous, and I've never read a self-help book in my life. And I didn't read this one. I just glanced through it. Huge bestseller from the 1990s. You've heard of it. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And it's all small stuff. And it's a book of life hacks, little 2-page, 3-page micro chapters on different things you can do to lead a more meaningful life. One of the chapters was called Write a Heartfelt Letter. So at that time, in November of 2013, I was busy, busy, busy writing stories, planning books, writing books, promoting books. And I said, I can do this. I looked at it as an intellectual challenge. I can write a letter of gratitude, or I can write a heartfelt letter. Sat down, banged it out on my computer, texted the recipient for his address, mailbox, stamp, envelope, boom, put it in the mail. What I didn't anticipate was that feeling of warmth that I got when I dropped it in the mail. So I wrote another one, and then I wrote another one. And on we have gone over these last 10 years, now 240 letters out the door.
That's amazing. One of the things that I have been working on is giving gifts for fun and for free. So how do you stay detached from how the recipient will receive the letter? Like, have you ever written a letter and gotten no response and just you got your satisfaction from dropping it in the mailbox? Or how do you just give it the letters away for fun and for free, being detached to the response?
You are really quite a DA, aren't you? That's another incredible question. All right, this is going to blow your hair back. 240 letters out the door. I've heard from approximately 80 people, which means 2 out of every 3 people do not, allow me to repeat that, do not respond. Here's a word your audience is not familiar with. If they are, then they should be long on Jeopardy. It is called doxophobia. Doxophobia is the fear of being praised. Okay? If you're a doxophobe, you don't want any attention. So I have come to learn that maybe not everyone in the world, but many people I know seem to have a touch of doxophobia. And most of the letters I've sent have not been acknowledged. It has been a tough journey for me because I don't expect a singing telegram. I don't expect a dozen roses, but it is nice to get a text. Hey, got your letter. Wow, what a surprise. Boom, end of story. When that doesn't happen, there's always the chance they did not receive the letter, which is an entirely different thing. Because let me make this very clear right now. All of these letters, these 240, have been put in the mail with a stamp. They are all typewritten. I'm showing my age. They are all on the word processor because I don't want to subject anyone to my handwriting. And furthermore, I have this incredibly voluminous archive of who I've written to, what I've said, and when I've written to them. That has allowed me to write books on the subject. But most people, 2 out of 3, do not acknowledge it. But I have a extremely instructive story I want to share with you and your listeners about how these letters impact the recipients, despite me not hearing from 2 out of every 3. May I share it with you?
I would love to hear it.
Okay, thank you. I was hoping you'd say that. So years ago, early on, probably 20, 25 letters into this lifelong hobby, I wrote a letter to my wife's BFF, who was undergoing a divorce, suffering through a divorce. And I always admired her, and I wrote her a letter of gratitude / admiration, telling her that I thought she was a rock, I thought she was incredible, and I admired how she didn't drag her soon-to-be ex-husband through the mud. It wasn't one of those ugly things. She continued to earn a living. She continued to support her family. And I wrote a letter saying as much. This woman, we'll call her Hillary, has never in 10 years said a word to me. She did, however, say something to my wife. She used an expression I've never heard before or since. She said, "Joel's letter took my knees out from under me," which is as potent a way of saying that even if people, for whatever reason they choose, don't acknowledge the letter, does not mean it doesn't have profound impact.
That is so beautiful. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs listening to this podcast today, a lot of content creators. And you might think you're putting out content, you're pouring your heart into these lives or into your email newsletter, and no one's responding. I know I have felt that way. Just because you're not acknowledged or replied to or commented on or liked, it does not mean that the energy and the love and the authenticity that you're pouring out into the world is not received. I truly believe it is received, and that, you know, the law of physics, right? Every action has an equal and opposing reaction. You can't pour so much of yourself out and not have any effect on the world. You are affecting the world. So if you're listening and you need that encouragement to keep pouring yourself out into your social, into your newsletter, into your clients, keep going. And how do you deal with rejection? I know you've dealt with a lot of rejection because you've had a very long career as a writer and a speaker. And I'm sure sometimes you have, you know, had your articles not make the main edit. How do you deal with rejection?
Like everybody else, poorly.
Yeah.
That's a good question. At this stage of the game, let me answer this in a roundabout way, Miss Rebecca. It's been a long, let's just keep it on letters of gratitude. It's a hard lesson when it's hurtful to a slight degree when you don't get a response. Let me reiterate, I don't expect a letter of gratitude back for my letter of gratitude, okay? It is nice if someone picks up the phone or worst case email, text, got your letter. It doesn't happen that often, which has shocked you, and is certainly shocking your reader, your listeners. I am trying to understand that I write letters for my own sake.
Yes.
It's a tough lesson, and I've been at this now for more than 10 years, and I'm not going to lie. There's been some hurt feelings and some, if I'm going to be perfectly frank, some changed relationships, and not for the better, based on this concept. But I'm trying, as I get older and as I get more into this whole gratitude tiger thing, to write the letters only for myself. I think about that story of my wife's friend, Hillary. The letters are doing good despite people not being inclined to pat me on the back, you know, Phyllis, in a manner of speaking. So as for rejection, I'm not writing commercially anymore. I have a new book coming out called Gratitude Tiger. I will use this book when it's done just to supplement my speaking engagements. When people hear me speak, they want to know more. So I'm going to have a book out that will guide them or help them figure out who to write letters to and how to write these letters. So in terms of submitting to magazines and websites, that is thankfully behind me.
So let's talk about some of the key components of a gratitude letter, because I'm sure the listeners are going to want to write a gratitude letter right away after hearing this very compelling interview. So what are some of the key components in them writing their first gratitude letter? What do they need to include?
Okay, great question. And after that, be sure to ask me the seven pillars,
yes,
of expressive gratitude. Why you write letters. Why you write letters. But what should you put in the letter? That's great. That's great you mentioned that, because I'm working on that in a chapter in the new book. So I write letters that are seven paragraphs long.
Okay.
But you could write a letter that's seven sentences long. And if you are extremely taciturn, if you are not one to wear your heart on your sleeve, you could write a letter of gratitude That is 7 words long.
Okay.
I do 7 paragraphs because I've got a lot to say. Or as the old expression, Rebecca, if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter. That's attributed to sometimes Mark Twain, sometimes Winston Churchill. Apparently, I have limited time, so I write longer letters. I don't even know what to say about that. But my point is, I write 7 paragraphs. I'm a free thinker, free associator. You can write 7 sentences, and you can even write 7 words. Let me give you a few examples. You want to write a powerful, not even letter of gratitude, powerful sentence of gratitude. I love you and cherish you. You mean the world to me. This department would not run without you. All of these single sentences are extremely powerful. Now, if you want to be a little bit more expansive and fill up the page and provide a little bit more context, I will often start a letter by commenting on the surprise the recipient is going to feel. For example, dear Rebecca, I imagine opening this letter is going to surprise you, period. After all, we haven't seen each other in nearly 10 years, period. But I want you to know that the time we spent together, fill in the blank, at the sorority, at the XYZ company, in the military, whatever it is, were some of the most meaningful and profound years of my life. So you can start a letter by referencing the fact that it's such a surprise to be getting this letter. Then you might want to reference a couple of common denominators. Remember the time at Sorority Rush when we were in the dance-a-thon? I was exhausted, but you encouraged me to keep going. And lo and behold, I took 2nd place. In other words, the second thing you might want to do is recall something specific that you are grateful to that the person you're writing to has probably forgotten about. Okay? So the first thing is reference the surprise of the letter. 2nd, come up with something that the recipient might not even remember happening between you two, but it's etched in your memory. 3rd, you might want to reference, if you want to get more personal, talk about what you, the recipient, has meant to me. You know, Rebecca, you're a busy woman, you're a life coach, and you have many clients, but I want you to know when we did that one-on-one coaching, when I was in that dark place 16 months ago, you really helped me see things from a different perspective. So these are just some of the techniques you can use to flesh out a letter, but let me go back to the first point. I write 7 paragraphs, you can write 7 sentences, some of your Clint Eastwood type listeners can write 7 words. It doesn't matter the length, it matters the intent and the potency.
What is the significance of 7 words, 7 sentences, or 7 paragraphs, which is going to lead us to the 7 pillars of gratitude question, but what is the significance of having 7?
None whatsoever. I guess you just drew the analogy that I'm too dumb to think of, which is I do have the 7 pillars of expressive gratitude. But as I look at my letters, they're all typewritten. They're all a full page. And they are generally, depending on how long the paragraphs are, they're 6, 7, 8 paragraphs long. So just for the symmetry, I say, I write 7 paragraphs, but you can write 7 sentences. And you, Mr. Closed-mouthed, don't show your feelings, can do it in 7 words. And by the way, I know you mentioned this to me before we started, you don't have a lot of necessarily corporate executive types who love your podcast, but say you have, I don't know, 50 people in your department, maybe 100. You can't wax rhapsodic to all of them at Christmas time with a long involved letter, not to mention you don't know all of them that well. So if you're going to sit down and knock out a bunch of thank you cards, you can do it in one sentence. This department wouldn't run without you. Boom, that's it. Signed by the boss. You're going to get some employees who will want to run through the wall for you just with that simple, potent sentence. And when you have a stack of cards because you have 80 people in your department, You can do that in a couple, 3 hours. Vary the message, of course. Don't write the exact same thing on every card. But my point is, you can do it extremely succinctly and not put in the whole kitchen sink. To me, it's an act of creativity. It's an act of love or kindness. Or I'm not going to lie, sometimes it's transactional. I write business letters of gratitude, and I feel the need to expound. But not everyone feels that way, and not everyone should.
So let's get into the seven pillars, which is so funny because I have the seven pillars of abundance. You have the seven pillars of expressive gratitude. What are they?
And I will tell you the subtitle, Seven Pillars of Expressive Gratitude, or The Magnificent Seven Reasons Why Writing Letters of Gratitude Will Change Your Life. All Reason right. number one, pillar number one, is probably the most important. It makes you, the letter writer, feel good. Which is why I've slowly come to the point that if I don't hear back from the individual I wrote to, it doesn't matter as much because I'm writing the letters for myself. The reason I have written 240 letters of gratitude is because it makes me, the writer, feel good. It's a little bit like helping an elderly person or a differently abled person cross the street. It's a little bit, Rebecca, like giving precise directions to a frazzled passerby. It's a little bit like both of those things, but it's much, much more. When you put a letter of gratitude in the mail, you're going to get a feeling of warmth and accomplishment that your podcast could be 2 hours long, and I could keep trying to explain it to you, but until you do it, you won't know the exact feeling of writing that letter. You get three hits of dopamine when you write a letter of gratitude. The first is when you identify who you're going to write to. The second is when you reread the letter that you just wrote. And the third is when you drop it in the mail, put it on their bureau, put it in their backpack. Those are the three hits of dopamine. The first pillar, it makes you, the letter writer, feel good. Reason number two, pillar number two, painfully obvious, it makes the recipient feel good. Okay? I won't belabor that because it's obvious, but let me just say this. Most everyone is battling through, everyone on this planet is battling through life. All right? If you're lucky, it's just a minor skirmish. But for most people, it's all out warfare every day, trying to get ahead. I mean, look at your business. If everyone was rainbows and unicorns, no one would call your 800 number. Okay.
That's right.
So everyone is battling through life. You get a letter of gratitude in the mail out of the blue. Someone from your past or your present is saying, "Hey, Rebecca, I'm grateful to know you." This is going to be the highlight of most people's day, if not their week. Pillar number three, it makes the letter recipient feel good about you. Now, most people want to be liked, not everybody. CEO types want to be admired, respected. Despots and dictators and autocrats, they want to be feared, but most people want to be liked.
Yes.
When you write a letter of gratitude, the recipient's opinion of you isn't going down. Might not go up, but it's not going down. All right? So pillar number one, it makes you feel good. Pillar number two, it makes the recipient feel good. The third pillar is it makes the recipient feel good about you, the letter writer. Number four, it's a creative process. We all need more creativity in our lives. I don't care if you're a screenwriter or a sculptor. And writing a letter of gratitude, whether it's seven words or seven sentences or seven paragraphs, is a creative process. Very important is pillar number five, Rebecca. It turns your focus outward. Okay? Five words describe 90%+ of humanity. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for my family? What's in it for my business? When you write a letter of gratitude, your focus is outward. For that 20 minutes, or if you're writing seven words, for that 20 seconds, your focus is on the other person. And that is really healthy. Reason number six.
Let's talk about focus outward. There's a saying, when in doubt, focus out. And when you are self-obsessed, thinking of I, me, 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 that is where there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of inner turmoil. But if you can focus out by writing a letter like this, or being of service to someone else, even being an active listener, even sharing this podcast with someone, just be of service, focusing out, you will be relieved of what they call in the 12 steps, the bondage of self. And being relieved of self-obsession is a gift, whether it's for 1 minute, 10 minutes, 1 hour. So go out there and focus out. Go ahead. What is the sixth pillar?
I will, but first let me interject this. Yeah. When I first heard you, when you came across my radar, you were on that Pain Game podcast.
I was, yeah.
Okay. And I reached out to the host there. Her name is Lindsay Soprano, as you recall.
Yes.
And I said to her, you should have me on your podcast. Yeah, why is that? Because when you're thinking about someone else, in other words, pillar number five, you're out of your own head. And if the people who are listening to that podcast are in chronic pain, which, let's face it, hard to get out of your own head when you're constantly in discomfort. If you can focus on someone else for the 20 minutes or however long it takes to write a letter of gratitude, that helps your pain level just for the fact that for that time you're writing the letter, you're thinking about somebody else. That's how you came across my radar originally. So back to our regularly scheduled program. Pillar number six is the ripple effect. You receive a letter of gratitude from your college roommate. You're completely taken aback by this altruism, this gesture. And you say, I should write my cousin. We were like sisters all those years at our grandparents' lake cabin. I don't think I've spoken to her since the last family reunion. And then you write a letter because you received a letter. That's the ripple effect. Seventh and finally, the legacy effect. You write a letter of gratitude, Rebecca, only two things can happen. You'll pass away before the recipient, or the recipient will pass away before you. Now, I've written 240 letters. I've lost about 10 of the individuals I wrote to. The first thought I had when I heard so-and-so was gone was, I am so glad I wrote them a letter of gratitude to let them know how I felt about them. Now, regarding the letter writer passing away before the recipient, thankfully no personal experience just yet, but I hope when that day comes, people will say, wow, he's gone? He wrote me this letter out of the blue years ago. He really knocked my socks off. So the legacy effect is as important as any of the previous six pillars.
And your letters will live on forever.
Possibly.
Until they throw them away. But I mean, the memory and the effect of impacting someone for the better, that energy that you put out into the universe, because then that person's going to feel better about themselves and they're going to be kinder, more loving to the next person. That's part of the sixth pillar, the ripple effect. But those ripples that you put out into the universe are going to last forever. So these are great.
I hope so. I can only hope.
These are great reasons to write letters. You know, I was really touched. Have you ever read Bono's letters of gratitude to the people that have changed his life for the better? Bono of U2?
Yeah, I knew what you meant by Bono, but the answer is no.
His letters, I mean, if you haven't read those and you're listening, get your hands on some of them because they're immortal. They're like, you know, published literature. So writing a beautiful letter of gratitude, as Joel is describing, or how Bono did, are just pieces of literature that could last forever if they're really eloquent and heartfelt.
Well, so, Rebecca, let me interject this. 240 letters out the door. I imagine several have been thrown away. I imagine, I'm quite certain several have been framed.
Wow.
But in the vast middle, let's say there's half a dozen that have been misplaced or tossed, and there's maybe a few or half a dozen, who knows, that have been framed. I know for a fact people have said they have. But in that vast middle of 220 letters that weren't thrown away or weren't framed, I like to think they're in a folder. I like to think they're in a coveted desk drawer. Because, I mean, think about your Christmas cards or your birthday cards. What's the sell-by date? You put them on your kitchen counter, on your mantle. Most people, I don't know, the Christmas time's different because you have it on the mantle, all your Christmas cards for a while. You get a birthday card in the mail from your Aunt Edna. How long are you supposed to keep it before you toss it, right? Is it 2 days? Is it 4 days? I like to think the letters I've written are being kept. I don't know for a fact, but thinking that way makes me feel good.
You know what's funny, Joel, is I have every letter and card that has ever been written to me for my entire life. So I don't throw anything away that is a letter or a card. And when I was in high school, to date myself, we used to actually pass notes in the hall. And I have all the notes that were passed to me during class and in the hall, and they're all at my mom's house. She still lives in my childhood home. It is so much fun going back there and reading those notes. I have all my old diaries and journals. I'm not a hoarder. I throw stuff away sometimes that I shouldn't, but I won't throw any of those away.
That is really incredible. So you know what that makes me think of? For a long time, it's helped my speaking career. Obviously, it would help anyone's speaking career being a member of Toastmasters, which is the International Organization for Public Speaking. And when you speak at a Toastmasters club, people pass you what are called love notes. So they hear you speak, and many of the members, many of the attendees will write down a sentence or two or three to encourage you or tell you what they liked or they didn't like. I used to speak often at Toastmasters, won plenty of competitions, and I used to get love notes that were really quite, well, as the name implies, really quite lovely, but I never kept them. If I kept every love note I ever got, it would probably be fill a shoebox, but I'd look at them. I don't know, maybe it's men are from Mars and women are from Venus. I don't know. I'd read them, admire them. Maybe I'd keep them for a week or two and then tossed. Part of me wishes I still had them, but unlike you, I don't have any of that.
Well, they're really powerful. I went to this leadership training and they're called Letters for a Rainy Day, because being human, you know, we have good days and bad days, and they're organized in this cute little folder, and they're just words of acknowledgement and appreciation. So when you're having a tough day, you just pull out your folder, Letters for a Rainy Day, and it just reminds you of who you really are and lifts your spirit. So having these letters around is just such a gift that you can give someone.
That's amazing. It never occurred to me. And I don't know if I admire you or I think it's a little odd. So you have like your birthday cards from when you were 7 years old?
Well, I think I start saving stuff in high school, but yeah, all the way back.
So 12 years ago. Fantastic. It's gotta be quite a pile.
Definitely. There's a lot of cards. So what is the difference between just passive gratitude or regular gratitude and proactive gratitude?
Okay. Great question. So passive gratitude, or what I call reactive gratitude, is when you get a benign medical diagnosis. It's reactive. It's Pavlovian.
Yes.
Reactive gratitude is when your turbulent flight lands safely. Reactive gratitude is when your kid gets into their first choice of college. Oh my God, I'm so grateful. Everyone on the planet, Rebecca, doesn't matter how brutal your circumstances are, everyone on this planet feels reactive gratitude once in a while. The key to improving yourself in this emotional way is by embracing not reactive, proactive gratitude. You proactively decide to be grateful 5 or 10 or 20 times a day. Find gratitude in the situations you are in. So I've mentioned this twice, and I know you're going to give me a shout out. My website is gratitudetiger.com. and my new book, which will be out later this year, The Gratitude Tiger. And people assume because I was in the golf business, right through Tiger's from the day he turned pro until now, they assume, and I've known in that world, I had a reasonably prolific career, that it has something to do with Tiger Woods, but it doesn't. Tiger is an acronym, and it means tapping into gratitude engenders rewards. It's a fancy way of saying
tapping into gratitude engenders.
You have to tap into gratitude 20 times a day. Whatever circumstance you're in, there's something to be grateful for. When you tap into that gratitude, it will engender rewards. Rebecca, it's a fancy way of saying it's better to give than to receive. When you give gratitude, you, the person giving gratitude, will be rewarded for doing so. Now, my letter writing hobby is a manifestation of Tiger. I tap into gratitude by writing letters, but if I've written 200, how many days are there in 10 years? 3,600 days, and I've written 200 letters. I can't do the math in my head, but that means at least I'm only writing a letter every 15 days or whatever the math might be, every 20 days. How am I showing gratitude the rest of the, I'm only writing a letter once every couple of weeks. How do I show gratitude? Every situation I'm in, all day, every day, I try to find the goodness. I try to find the gratitude within the situation I'm in. Tiger, tapping into gratitude engenders rewards. And you will be rewarded with more equanimity, more emotional balance. Physiologically speaking, you can improve your sleep patterns. You can lower blood pressure. You can lower stress levels by concentrating on gratitude. And as I said a minute ago, if you're someone who's in chronic pain, when you're thinking about things you are grateful for, when you are thinking about other people to whom you feel grateful, it helps take your focus off your own problems.
So what kind of, other than writing the letters, what kind of practices do you employ for gratitude? Do you have any other methodologies that you use?
I do. So everyone, 97.5% of your listeners have heard of journaling. Okay. Gratitude journal. You can journal about whatever you want, but most everyone's heard of a gratitude journal. Okay. There's something like a gratitude journal called the gratitude jar. You have a jar instead of a piggy bank in coins, you have a glass jar and index cards. Write down thoughts of gratitude, date them, throw them in the jar once a month, dump it out, and recall things you would have otherwise forgotten about that you were grateful for on any given day. I don't have a journal and I don't have a jar, but let me tell you what I do. Every night, I do something called count your blessings. I get into bed and I recount things that day chronologically from the beginning of the day till the end that I am grateful for. Not big things like, oh, I'm grateful I have a home. I'm grateful I have a family. Little things. I'm grateful I had yogurt and fruit for breakfast. I was craving bacon and eggs. I'm grateful I saw Bill at the hardware store. I'm grateful when I pulled into the gas station, a pump magically opened up in front of me. These little moments of grace recounted from morning till evening will have a calming effect on the nervous system and allow you to find sleep more easily. That is a gratitude practice that I don't know the last time I've missed a night. It's been years. I get into bed, and no matter what's on my mind, before I start ruminating about whatever the problem or the issue might be, I go through my counting of blessings, and it helps put me in a calmer, quieter state. That is my main gratitude practice other than the letter writing.
Well, that is something we can all do. And there are so many great takeaways from this interview. So if you're listening, I am assigning you a couple things. If you want a challenge, write a letter of gratitude and do the count your blessings exercise tonight. And I know my listeners are going to want to stay in touch with you, Joel. How can people find you online? Where are you hanging out? And how can they find out about all your awesome books?
Well, Miss Rebecca, you're very kind. Go to gratitudetiger.com. Nothing to do with Tiger Woods, as I made abundantly clear. And by the way, the tagline on my website is fiercely grateful since 2013, which is when I started my letter writing. Who knew it was going to be a hobby? You know what, Rebecca? I wrote one letter. It never occurred to me I would write a second letter. But here I am, 240 letters down the road. Everything about what I'm doing, my new book, my speaking gigs, which is my main focus, is at gratitudetiger.com. I have a new Instagram account, which I just started, gratitude_tiger. And I'm basically out there now spreading my message to corporate groups. We're not talking about it because, as you said, it's not your audience. There's certainly an efficacy about showing gratitude in the workplace, right? If you're not a Wall Streeter, many businesses are not in a position to give raises, to give bonuses. And by the way, research shows millennials, they're not that concerned about compensation. You and I coming up through the ranks, we wanted more money. I mean, that's how life was. Millennials are more concerned with autonomy, being recognized, having responsibility, being validated, and the concept of their superiors recognizing them with a letter or a note of gratitude is right in the wheelhouse of what I'm trying to espouse. So anything you want to know about me and what I do and where I speak and the audiences I'm speaking to can be found at gratitudetiger.com.
Yeah, that reminds me, and this will be my final point before we wrap it up. People will work for a living, but they'll die for recognition. And because a lot of companies are tight on their budget, compliments and words of gratitude and appreciation are free, and they mean so, so much to people. So,
so true. So very true.
Yes. If you can't afford to give someone a raise or a bonus, you can write them a letter or give them a card or some kind of statement of gratitude. So everyone, this has been another phenomenal episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We love our listeners. Keep listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Copy and paste this link, share it with a friend who could use some gratitude in their life. And don't forget, if you ever want to take a screenshot, tag me on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. I will give you a shout out and recognize you for listening to this incredible episode. Thank you, everyone, again. I will see you next week with another incredible guest. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetize. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another amazing episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. It's your loyal listening that makes our show top 0.5% in the world. I would love to connect with you in person. We're having our second international retreat October 3rd through 6th in Belize. If you like yoga, sound baths, and want to get all seven pillars of abundance to a level 10, this retreat is for you. Just go to the link tree in the show notes to snag your $200 off promo code before April 15th. And let's end the year 2024 with momentum so that going into 2025, you will have so much abundance in all areas of life that you will be setting yourself up for the most incredible year ever. It is going to give you something to look forward to all year. Make sure you snag your spot before April 15th. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at RebeccaElizabethWhitman.com. My email address is on my website. Thank you so much for your loyal listening. And we will see you on the next episode. And some of you lucky ladies will see you in Belize. Bye.